From Delray Beach, Florida, welcome to Life Change Weekend with Dr. Dino Padrone. Hear the stories of individuals who, through their conversion experiences, books written, ministry served, special truths from Scripture, or trips taken, tell their story. These stories and teachings are life-changing. So thank you for joining us, and get set for some life change. Here is your host, Dr. Dino Padrone.
Thank you, David, and welcome into our broadcast today, Life Change Weekend. And on the weekends, I always enjoy these so much because we get to hear from different people, many who have stories to tell, some who are experts in certain areas, others who deal with books that they have written, and some share their testimonies of how they came to Christ. And I trust today will be a blessing for you as we continue in part two of the American presidency. We're going to be talking today about transformational presidents. I have my good friend, Pastor John Wooden, on with us today from Hollywood, Florida. And Pastor John, welcome, and we're glad you're on today.
Thank you, Dr. Padrone. Glad to be with you.
Tell us just briefly about your church and where you're located.
Yeah, we're located on the Gold Coast of Florida, just south of Fort Lauderdale in beautiful Hollywood, Florida. We have a very diverse church that loves to pray and loves being full of the Spirit. And in fact, Dr. Padrone, you're often a guest here speaking.
Yeah, I'm delighted. Last time I was there, we dedicated another section of your building there, which was really an exciting day. Now, transformational presidents, when you talked to me about this when we were at lunch one day, it really rang a chord in my heart. I thought, well, who in the world are these presidents? What does it mean when you say, what do you mean by transformational president? Explain the concept.
Well, that once this particular person was in office, the American government and the presidency itself was changed forever. You can point to certain things, you know, that happened and that changed things. But there are certain presidents that had such an impact that the presidency would never be viewed the same again. You know, when you consider, you know, where we started, the presidents, with George Washington, I would tell you that if he walked into the White House today, he wouldn't even recognize what was going on because it's so radically different. And really, most of the 19th century, most presidents were very I wouldn't say ineffectual, but they weren't really the Congress was leading the country. Presidents were in power and in office, but often were, made things much worse than it made them better. But you could pinpoint, like seven presidents that really changed how we view things.
When I first heard you talk about this, my mind began to rattle right away. I'm thinking, well, who are these presidents? So I've got the man on today. Who are these transformational presidents?
Well, George Washington, for sure, because there was no model. You know, Washington, in fact, was, they wrote a letter in 1781 asking him to be king. Or after the defeat of the British, and he absolutely refused. He said, that's what we've been fighting against. Why would I want to become a king? And so the shaping, and it took the disaster of the Articles of Confederation and then the shaping of the U.S. Constitution. This was such a unique document. There was no model for it. Later countries would follow our model, but there was no model. There were no elected presidents. That just didn't exist in the world in the 18th century. You know, it was the world of kings and queens. You have Washington, you have Andrew Jackson, which really who solidified the power of the federal government to make things happen. Good or bad, you can argue what he did was good or bad. You know, for instance, Jackson, the Bank of the United States needed its charter renewed, and Jackson refused. And they tried to go around him to Congress, and he basically took all the money out of the bank and put it in banks that were operated in the states. Well, they were thrilled. And he said, oh, we're just being equitable. But he forced the Bank of the United States to its knees and really, really kind of led the way for the modern Federal Reserve. You know, but other things in terms of what he did, or bad things in terms of marching the Cherokees to Oklahoma from North Carolina, and really defying the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court of the United States said, you can't do it. He said, let John Marshall defend, you know, defend his ruling, and proceeded to march them to Oklahoma, you know, which became the March of Tears, which, of course, you know, a good many of the people, the Native Americans, died along the way. You know that many Native Americans still to this day will not take a $20 bill because Andrew Jackson's picture's on it.
Wow, is that right?
Yeah. But you have Abraham Lincoln, who really, America had been, you know, here's the Civil War breaking out. And Lincoln's, he suspends habeas corpus in America. So you didn't have to have evidence. He just started arresting people that they thought were Southern sympathizers that were in Washington and Maryland. And then Lincoln did a lot of things. You know, it was kind of after the fact he got his hand slapped. But by that time, the war was nearly over. By the time the courts got through, you know, saying you can't suspend habeas corpus, he already did it. And some of these people sat in jail for 3 years because, but he basically became the first wartime commander-in-chief because he would sit in the war, in the Defense Department, in the War Department, and over the telegraph would get information from the battlefield and send information out as the commander-in-chief to his generals. That's the first time that's ever been done. Because we had no ability to communicate, they would send letters, but by that time it could be over. And you know, here's Lincoln. Immediately, he's sitting in the telegraph office at the War Department, communicating with his generals in the field. And then, of course, we have Theodore Roosevelt, because throughout the 19th century, most of the presidents, you know, pretty much stayed in Washington. They didn't do much, and didn't create policy for that much. But Teddy Roosevelt comes in and decides that the government needs to be an agent of protecting the people, and proceeded to come up with trust busting, you know, because this was the era of monopolies where they would, you know, Standard Oil and U.S. Steel would buy up all the companies around them and control the price. And Teddy Roosevelt said, that's not right. We need to break that up. And they did. They trust busting, and then they decided to use the federal government to buy the first U.S. National parks were bought under Theodore Roosevelt, who said we need to preserve the uniqueness of the American landscape, prevent it from being overpopulated. You know, so this is a guy who decided to use the power and the prestige of the U.S. government, plus the presidency, because he called it the bully pulpit, that, you know, to encourage people to do the right things. Then, of course, we have Woodrow Wilson, you know, good or bad, again, American exceptionalism, that we had the right to be the world's policeman. Self-proclaimed, of course, but Wilson gets involved in World War One. That's the first time that the American had to get involved in foreign wars, because since George Washington warned in his farewell address to stay away from foreign entanglements, Wilson says, we need to do this because we have the moral, you know, we have the moral high ground, and we don't want territory. We don't want things, although we did get territory from certain wars and things. But he said, you know, we have the right to go in and help for the right side. And then, of course, you know, no doubt FDR, through the crucible of the Great Depression, you know, no one had ever been. The government was basically, through Herbert Hoover, was ineffective. Roosevelt kind of tore down the barriers and said, we need to fix this economy, and we need to fix the people and get them off the streets and get them back to work, and put together all sorts of programs. So the federal government we recognize today was really crafted by FDR, by Franklin D. Roosevelt. And I added Ronald Reagan, because I believe that Ronald Reagan really changed the transformed the presidency, and that it was make it possible for conservatism, and that there was room to be a conservative and still be get things done and on the global stage, which he certainly, I would say, is probably singularly responsible for the destruction of the Soviet Union and bringing the concept of nuclear war really under control.
Well, I'll tell you, that's a fascinating list that you have there, Pastor John. And I'm delighted that you shared that with us and shared how these were transformational. You're listening into Life Change Weekend. This is Dino Padrone talking to you. And our guest today is Pastor John Wooden from Hollywood, Florida. And we're talking about transformational presidents. If you like a copy of my book called True Spiritual Identity, you can get it by simply going to our webpage at dinopadroneministries.org. That's dinopadroneministries.org. Or you can send me a note at dinopadrone@gmail.com. That's dinopedrone, dinopadrone@gmail.com. And if you'd like to send an offering into our ministry to help us with the many wonderful things that God is doing here with missions and writing of books and television and radio and online college, all the things that we're doing, we would be delighted to receive the gift and, of course, put it appropriately to where it's intended. And we want this book to be a blessing to you. Now, Pastor, let me ask you this. We have seven names here. How long did it take you to develop this idea?
Well, you know, I guess because of my studies over the years of just putting that together, and it kind of came to the notion that there were certain people in certain situations, you know, and I believe that you can draw a correlation, because there were almost always in these transformational presidencies, either a financial crisis, or what they would call a panic. You know, we Herbert Hoover euphemistically determined, called the Great Depression the Depression. He said it's not a panic, it's merely a depression. And then, of course, we came up with the idea of recession instead of depression. But, you know, there's these things that these men were able to accomplish, which left a permanent imprint not only on the U.S. government, but on the world. We would never again approach things the way, you know, if you remember Ronald Reagan, the famous line to Jimmy Carter, there you go again. You know, when Carter started the national malaise, and, you know, and there you go again. And Reagan made the presidential debates into a major forum, which basically took Jimmy Carter right out of the situation. I mean, he just took him right out of the election with that one statement, you know, that there you go again, being negative, you know, and here's Reagan, you know, with American optimism, you know, Midwestern populist optimism.
Pastor, as we look at this, what you're sharing with us today, here's a question I think that our listeners would really be interested in. Are there any correlations between transformational presidents and the spiritual condition of the country?
Yes. And I think you can make the statement, the case, that in every time that there was a transformational presidency, there was also a spiritual revival going on in the country. If you look, almost every single one, there was something going on, or the development of major ministries like D.L. Moody or Billy Sunday during the Wilson administration, where there was major revivals going on. The Second Great Awakening in the 1830s, Charles Finney and Burton Stone and people like that. This is going on while Andrew Jackson is president. So not only is he transforming America, in 1837 we had a tremendous financial disaster hit the United States. And I think people start looking up to Jesus because their money doesn't make them, it doesn't help them. The political situation may be adverse. And so they begin to look up to Jesus. And I think you can pinpoint just before the American Civil War in 1857, there was a major economic disaster. The Central America sank in a storm. The SS Central America sank in a storm on its way from the gold rush in California to the mint in Washington. And it sunk. Set off the first worldwide depression because their people were concerned that there was not going to be enough gold to cover the debts of the United States. And of course, we don't worry about that anymore, but in those days they did. And it started a prayer revival. There were so many people out of work. It started in Fulton Street in New York City. They started having prayer meetings every day at 12 o'clock. And in the first day, they had 7 people. The second day, they had 14 people. And it soon kept growing. And then churches all over New York City were meeting at 12 o'clock to pray. Hmm. Well, this thing took off across America. And really, the American Civil War is what stopped the revival. And unbeknownst to a lot of people, in the Confederate Army, there was a tremendous revival going on. People getting saved, people spiritually renewed, going on during the American Civil War. That God was still moving. And you can look at all of these situations, and even Reagan, the Reagan administration leading up to the Brownsville revival up in North Florida, where there were situations coming forth and economic turmoil and political turmoil, and all of a sudden God just pours himself out in a place. And well, I think you can tie all of that together because he's ready to make a shift. And so not only do we shift politically, but we shift spiritually as well.
It reminds me so much of the truth that God is sovereign. He oversees the affairs of man. And how you bring this together in a very unique way with American presidents, politics, and policies is very, very unique. You're listening into Life Change today. Thank you for listening into our program today. We're on at this time every week, and we're having testimonies of people sharing what God's done in their life. We hear about books that are written. Last week and this week, we're having this fascinating discussion on the presidents of the United States. So the transformational presidents you list are George Washington, Andrew Jackson, Abraham Lincoln, Theodore Roosevelt, Woodrow Wilson, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and Ronald Reagan. So I would assume that some of these events change the political landscape. Is that...
You got to figure that things like 9/11, the attack at Pearl Harbor, these change the American, America was asleep. In 1940, if you had said we were going to be in a world war in a year, people would have laughed. They would have said, no, we're isolationism. We leave everyone alone. Don't bother us. And that changed because of the attack on Pearl Harbor and 9/11, the Great Depression. There are certain things that have left a scar, an imprint on the American culture, which you can't ignore anymore. It changes things so dramatically that nobody can just say, well, forget that. That doesn't matter anymore, because that's not true. And there are these imprintable events that change everything from then on.
Yeah, that's interesting as well. Now, when we think of the position of President of the United States, I think it's commonly believed it's the most powerful position in the world. Yet things are changing, and as you have pointed out so well today, that with these transformational presidents, things change. What do you see for the future of the American presidency? When I say this, I think about that young person, that 15-year-old young man, young woman, that 25-year-old young man, young woman, that student that's perhaps mayor of a city thinking, someday I'd like to be president. What do you see as the future of the American presidency?
Well, the two things that the founders, I think, never envisioned. One is the federal bureaucracy. I don't think they ever imagined a group of permanent federal employees. It was just not done. It was not thought of. you know, that such a monolith would exist. One of the other things is executive orders. Again, what we've done is really, you know, subverted the power of Congress, and we make these legislative moves, which are not the effect of legislation because they don't have a long lasting. So at the end of a presidency, all the previous president's executive orders basically sunset. So you have what's coming, I think, that's going to come. It's going to have to be defined by the Supreme Court or constitutional amendments of how do we deal with these things, and do we deal Congress back in or do we deal them out? And I also think that the issues of the kind of a legislative class, permanent political class of people that never leave office, you know, they're in office 30, 40, 50 years. They aggrandize themselves, they make money, and the founders never, you know, it was citizen politicians that ran the country, and they were fully expected to go back to their trades, whatever that was. And we don't have that today. Someone gets elected to Congress or to the Senate, you know, and they stay there for 40 or 50 years, you know, and I don't think the framers ever imagined that kind of permanent political class.
I tell you, you've given us a lot to chew on, and that really is fascinating discussion right there as to what the future of the American presidency looks like. I do think that we're in changing days, that we're in changing times, and Pastor, as you know as well as I do, that the Lord is coming again. But there are some very real issues that we have to face, we have to look at. I have preached in a couple of churches just recently where people from European countries who moved here because of America are saying that their relatives are moving elsewhere when they move out of Europe, not into America, because of their disappointment of what America looks like right now. And so I know you join all of us in praying for the country. We have just about a minute left here. If you could just lead us in a word of prayer for our nation.
In fact, the Bible tells us quite clearly to pray for our leaders, you know, in 1 Timothy. But we want to pray, Lord, I just ask you that you would just put your hand over America. I ask you, Lord, don't even pick up a little finger to not protect us, that this, you have ordained that this American experiment would work. You ordained this when our Pilgrim Fathers came here and they depended on you. And Lord, we just ask you that we are still dependent upon you, and that you are the heart of the king is in your hands. And we just thank you, Lord. Protect us and guide us into righteousness. That with these, although it looks like the days of Isaiah 5, where good is evil and evil is good, Lord, that you turn that around. And we just ask you now, Lord, in this word of prayer, that you just turn it around and change it back, change our hearts back to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor John. I want to thank you for your wonderful research that you've done and sharing that with us today. I've learned, I know our listeners have learned a lot from you. Thank you so very much. And I do pray for this broadcast goes into other nations beside America. I do pray for the United States of America. It's a great nation in so many ways. We are no longer a Christian nation, but we are still have a lot of wonderful things here. But we need to pray that God does a work in this nation of ours. You've been listening into Life Change Weekend. So glad to have you listen in. Don't forget Monday through Friday to join us to our weekday Bible studies. And every weekend we have Life Change Weekend. Have a blessed and wonderful weekend. Enjoy the services of your church this weekend. And thank you so much for being a part of Life Change Weekend.
You have been listening to Life Change Weekend. Life Change is brought to you through the International Dino Padron Ministry, which includes radio, television, live stream programming, podcasts, literature, online education, the support of Indigenous ministries, and progressive approaches to help people grow their faith. To receive our complimentary monthly newsletter, send your postal or email address to dinopadrone@gmail.com or dinopadroneministries.org. That's dinopadrone@gmail.com or dinopadroneministries.org. Stay tuned to our weekday Bible study, Monday through Friday. Thank you for joining us, and we'll be with you next week on Life Change Weekend.